BBC Six Music podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hi, this is a sexy woman, and you're listening to the highlights of the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music show. Ooh, this podcast has got me so hot. I'm too hot. I'm going to have to sit down and take off my cardigan. Oof, I'm boiling.
Hello, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe.
Welcome to our third condensed Six Music podcast. Thank you very much for downloading it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. No, sincerely, thanks. Thanks, man, thanks.
Yeah, nice little bit of sincere thank you there.
Thank you.
Now, this week, listeners, my voice, as you can hear, is still a bit ragged. It was very ragged at the top of the show. So we did a hilarious intro with me as Ray Winston, just to explain what's going on there when you hear it, okay? Otherwise, you might be confused. You might want to sue someone.
You know, somebody sent an email to point out that often people get colds when they've come through some very stressful situation. It's a way of the body releasing tension, and they were suggesting that because Song Wars is finished, this is your sort of Song Wars bile sebum coming out.
Oily sebum. So what do you mean bile? No, of course, last week's show was very emotional, and it was all resolved for us this week. We decided that we're not going to put the whole resolution of the Song Wars thing in the podcast, because there's no point in playing the song again.
Suffice to say that Adam's illegal downloading song deservedly won.
I won 97% of the votes. But I did.
That's still a smaller percentage than I won by the previous week. But why mention that?
It was 94% or 93% of the votes I got this week. And I speculated that probably a lot of those were sympathy votes after my pathetic whining behaviour before. But still, I appreciate it.
And it's not about the winning or the losing, it's about the music, right?
About taking part, and it's about the music.
It's hardly even about the music, because it doesn't really qualify as music.
It's about the music. And for me, it's about something much more spiritual that I don't want to go into. I really don't want to go into it.
I wouldn't go in there.
I'm not going in there.
It's frightening.
But later on, you'll get to hear in this podcast Joe's kind of farewell elegy for Song Wars that he composed.
Farewell elegy.
So I hope you enjoy what we've got for you this week, listeners. And again, once again, apologies for the fact that this podcast is mono.
Yeah, the BBC are slightly stone-aged in some technical respects. Of course, in all other respects, they're brilliant.
Yeah. They're the best. But, you know, we did all these jingles and everything for the podcast. We wanted to put a bit of extra effort in there, and you don't really get the whole value out of them. They sound a little bit weedy, so apologies for
that. We're going to be pushing them towards stereo, you know?
One day.
One day it'll happen.
But without further ado, here we go. Hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
I'm Ray Winston. Good morning.
Yeah, Adam's ill today, so I'm very privileged to be joined by one of Britain's, well, in my opinion, greatest actors, Ray Winston. Thanks a lot for coming in, Ray.
Yeah, my pleasure. I will find your monster.
Will you?
Yeah.
Great, good.
It's not a problem if you've got...
What's it like working with, you know, against blue screen? It must be very difficult.
Well, it is difficult, yeah, because you've got nothing to work with. You know, you've just got this big blue screen. So if the scene calls for some interaction with a large patch of blue, you're sorted. That's great. But if you know, you're supposed to be talking to like people and all that sort of stuff, it's difficult. You've got to use your mind. You've got to create people and like animals in your mind.
Let's go back to the beginning, though. Nil by Mouth, a Tour de Force.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, I love the Tour de France, and as soon as I heard it was about that, I wanted to get involved. I love the bikes. All that stuff got cut out, obviously, but still, you know, punching, all the punching and shouting, I love it.
So do you want to select a first track? You've selected some songs, Ray, to play today.
Yeah, well, I just have to correct you, straighten you out on the first track, garbage. You said only when it rains. That's an insult to the garbage. It's only happy when it rains. It's the whole point of the song. It's the whole point.
Sorry,
the whole
Ray,
point of the song.
Right. Don't hit me.
You know what I mean? It's the irony of only being happy when it rains. That's what the whole song's about, and then you miss out the word happy. It makes a mockery of it.
Indiana Jones? You're in the new Indiana Jones?
Yeah,
What's that about, aliens?
It's about aliens, yeah. They come down, there's exciting, there's a chasing... No, I'll chase some bloke. He comes after me, and I'll run off, and I'll shoot him. It's good. I don't know what it's about. It's all green screen again, so I only tell you afterwards what it is. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's exciting.
So what record have you chosen, Ray?
Yeah, I've chosen one by the Young Knives. Do you know them?
Yeah,
they're wicked. They're a good band. There's three of them. Three blokes. I love blokes, and so that's why they're my favourite band.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits, but that's cool.
I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Now, this is Adam speaking, not Ray Winston.
Yeah, we don't want to get fired from the castle for lying.
I've just got a bit of a cold, listeners, and it's gone to my cords.
It's more than a bit of a cold.
Well, it started off as just losing my voice. I had a gig earlier on in the week and it went wrong.
Really?
But then I could feel
the gig or the voice?
No, the gig was good. The voice went wrong. And I could feel the cold settling in there, getting into the back of my throat, you know what I mean? First, it starts off just a little bit phlegmy, you know?
Face it, you like it.
Come on,
you do. I like hearing it.
You?
I really like it. My voice goes wrong very rarely. I'm not boasting in any way, but it just never happens. And when it does, I love it.
Yeah.
It's like being possessed by a sexy man.
A sexy man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in a sort of devil possession way, just in a sexy way, you know? It gives you a chance to live in someone else's vocal shoes.
That's true.
Can you have vocal shoes?
You can. Yeah, I've got them on now. They're really nice.
Pair.
Yeah, it's a new pair of vocal shoes.
Yeah.
No, absolutely, that's true. But then at the same time, it's not very useful if you want to be taken seriously or just talk normally. People think you're being a ponce.
Sorry.
Carry on.
The thing that's happening with yours is it's changing.
Right.
There are many demons within you.
It's got different, it sort of just cuts out every now and again, doesn't it?
It's shifting its pitch.
The thing is, if I speak fairly low, right, then it's normal. Everything's more or less
that's not normal.
I mean, it's normal within sort of a ludicrous speaking low way. But then if I try and go up a little bit, it just completely cuts out.
That's
good.
What
I mean? And if I try and hit any high notes at all, I just sound like a kind of a weird freak.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's like you've got a kind of reel-to-reel tape player inside you, and it's switching speeds.
It's off-putting, though, isn't it?
I like it, man. I think it's going to be
three-quarter hours.
It's going to be a very distinctive show because of it.
Man, listen, while we are being lovey-dovey, I got a message from Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, because he'd read on my blog that I was a bit grumpy about it all and everything, and he said, listen, sorry to hear you're grumpy, but loving the Six Music show, I couldn't get Joe's Right and Wrong song out of my head all last week.
Wow.
He'd been humming it all last week.
That's going to ruin his head.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to damage one of the greatest heads in show business. I saw a film called There Will Be Blood. Have you seen that one?
Haven't seen it yet. No, Johnny does the music,
exactly.
Of course.
Exactly. That's why I mentioned it.
Right.
And I had no idea Johnny Greenwood did the music for it. I actually thought it reminded me of some of the music that Kubrick uses in The Shining.
Right.
Uses quite a lot of atonal music, Lutosławski, Slavsky, stuff like that. But then I realised it was by Johnny Greenwood, and it's amazing.
Mm.
It's a fantastic film.
Can't wait.
It's directed by P.T. Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slice of PTA. Are you a PTA fan?
Yeah, kind of.
No.
But never as much as after seeing this one.
Right.
It's got an amazing performance by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
Oh, it's brilliant. Anyway.
So there you go.
And of course,
yeah, genius. So I thought I'd drop that in there, a little bit of name dropping for you.
That was a good bit of name dropping with it sort of covered in a thick layer of...
nice little complimentary machine to it.
That's my favourite early morning
I thought it'd be nice just to wrap things up in Song Wars wise, because we're going to give Song Wars a little bit of a rest, even though Joe's come in with his own song this week, which we'll hear later on.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
I'd like to speak about the Sarah Chronicles. Terminator. The Sarah Chronicles. Sarah Connor Chronicles. You see, that's problem one with it.
A better name for it would be the Sarah Chronicles.
Yeah, exactly. The Sarah Connor Chronicles. I mean, that is a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Sarah Chronicles. The Chronicles. Anyway, we got invited to see a screening of this, because it's going to be on what channel in the
UK?
I think
it's on, isn't it on Virgin One or something?
Right. It's coming to the UK very soon, and it started airing in the US in mid-January.
Started airing on BitTorrent.
Right.
In mid-January.
No, it's actually started going out.
Oh, yes.
In the US.
Yeah.
But is available on BitTorrent currently. And I only watched the first one, and it was all right. It was not too bad. But the main thing is, like, the Terminator guy they've got for it. And it's basically a extension of the where they left off with the second film rather than the third one, I think.
Because what happened at the end of Rise of the Machines? Nuclear war, wasn't it? The world was just engulfed in a nuclear firestorm. Everyone dies. It was very bleak.
My love for the franchise died.
Yeah, quite right. Hey? Danes, what was Danes doing in that one? I wish I could manage Danes.
What was Stahl doing in that one?
Yeah.
What was anyone doing in that one? What was Arnie doing in that one?
He was in there, wasn't he? Looking about 100.
It was awful.
That was just before he did. That became the governator, wasn't it?
Yeah, nothing makes me angrier than a really poor sequel to a great film that really ruins the, you know, logic of the franchise.
Listeners, I can vouch for that. Nothing makes Joe more furious.
So angry.
So angry. He hits me. And,
yeah, I go to the Philippines and kill on a private manhunting reserve.
Yeah.
It's possible. If you're rich enough, you can do that.
Mm. He's like Predator.
Yeah.
And he gets absolutely furious. He cries and he screams and he just hurts himself and everyone around him. So it's a horrible thing to see. But so maybe you should stay away from the Sarah Connor Chronicles because it is more or less nonsense. And one of the worst things about it is the Terminator guy they've got looks just like a big dork who wouldn't get any acting work elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe it's doing the guy down, but there's very little that needs to be done to fulfil the requirements of the part, you know?
But, you know, that was what was quite good about the robot in Terminator 2, the nasty policeman one, that he looked a bit dorky. Do you remember? Like, he wasn't a big beefcake like Arnie. And if you were sending killer robots for backwards in time,
yes,
it would be better to let them blend in, you know.
Well, this is what they've done in this one, because as well as the big hunky dork man, who was the evil robot in the TV version, and incidentally, the only way that you can tell he's a robot, apart from occasionally seeing bits of his metal exposed when he gets bashed up.
He wheezes oil
all over the screen.
When he blinks, he blinks sideways.
He does. When he farts, little iron filings come out. No, that's not true. you can tell he's a robot because occasionally he just cocks his head a little bit. And that's what robots and evil people, incidentally, do, you know?
Does he make little noises?
He doesn't, but occasionally, to set the scene, they tell you where everything is and what time of day it is. I can't believe they're still doing
it. I know. People should have realised in the mid-70s that computers were going to no longer actually make noises when they merely produced font.
Yeah.
You know, text.
I wonder if they ever did. I'd like to find a computer that... It would be good to have that function on a computer that you could switch on. Anyway, so he's the evil guy, the big chunky man who cocks his head. But the Terminator sent to protect the hero is a little girl, a young woman. She's a teenaged girl of sort of the correct age for possible romantic entanglement.
Really?
With the protagonist, yeah. So that's their big genius conceit to sort of move the thing on a little bit. And it kind of works, and at the same time...
I wouldn't have sex with a young lady robot.
Why?
You wouldn't know what was up there, whether it had been correctly smoothed. You know, it's like popping your old fella into a fax machine.
You've all done that.
It might be nice at
Everybody's
first,
done that.
Oh, dear me. What if you couldn't get it out? What if it got snagged on something? Ouch.
Well, exactly. And what if the wiring was bad anyway and you got a nasty little shock?
I don't know.
No,
it's fun at first, but...
It's no good. Well, all these problems are dealt with in Battlestar Galactica, of course, and as well. Anyway, I digress. That kind of thing.
Really? People sleep with robots in Battlestar Galactica?
That's what it's all about, man, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, so I was wondering, listeners, about what other films it would be good to see turned into TV series. I had a couple of ideas. How about Seven, the series? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with Mills, played by Brad Pitt or whatever, whoever you could get, some rubbish actor who looks a tiny bit like Brad Pitt, getting out of prison. He partners up with Somerset, played by Morgan Freeman, of course, in the film. And for the series of Seven, the tone is a little bit lighter than the film, okay? And so there's a running gag. It's a sort of like a buddy cop movie. They go in there every week. They have a different case. And every week, Somerset will tease Mills a little bit with a box. And he'll be chanting, "What's in the box?" And, of course, rather than it being the head of a loved one in the box, it always turns out to be something fun. You know, like maybe a big mouth Billy Bass
Yeah.
Or a beer, that kind of thing.
Just a fun gift.
Yeah, a fun gift.
What? Because there are only seven deadly sins, which have all been used up by the film. So yeah, there'd have to be some other structure for the...
It's just the days killings. Of the week. Just days of the week.
Really?
Yeah. So every week, there's always 7 days of the week. So it
you could start with the 12 days of Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
With the, yeah, you get killed with like five pipers piping. And
yeah, exactly.
It wasn't five, was it? It was however many.
That would be
Lords
for the Christmas
leaping.
Edition.
That's right. The Lords are leaping and they leap right into your face. And
wow, what would the crime scene be like after that attack? Top hats everywhere.
There's clearly been Lords leaping all over the area.
The all-new Adam and Joe podcast has an all-new name. Podmax. The name will never be used out loud or written down.
Podmax.
But from now on, whenever you think about the Adam and Joe podcast,
Podmax.
Think Podmax.
Titanic, the TV series, right? Titanic, before the Berg, you could call it.
I like it.
And the length of the voyage is stretched out ad infinitum for however many series you want, with the use of flashbacks for every single passenger on board.
Well, that's good, because there's lots, aren't there?
There's a lot of passengers.
Thousands.
And so you just have flashbacks.
When you've run out of legitimate ones, there's always stowaways.
Exactly. Stowaways.
Fish.
And fish.
The dolphins.
Family members of the back home, you have their backstories.
A couple of guys hiding in the funnels.
The people that designed the ship.
If it was really successful, you could take it down to the level of plankton and nits.
The nits in the hair of the band that kept playing on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
A Beautiful Mind, the TV series, which would be called Mind Games.
Ooh.
Disturbed math genius John Nash. Every week teams up with the FBI and each week uses a new maths puzzle to solve a crime.
Great. It's educational as well.
Exactly.
That would be on in the morning. And it would have Wordy in it. You remember Wordy?
Words and pictures.
Yeah, the weird orange number man with no legs that floats around the place.
I do remember Wordy. And also, of course, you know, we're never quite sure in A Beautiful Mind, the TV series, whether it's actually happening or whether it's part of a breakdown. You know what I mean? It's got that added edge of surreality to it.
Watch out is another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Tech the Nation this week is all about TV series spin-offs from films. The most unlikely and nutsoid off-the-wall ones.
Yeah, we kind of had to explain the guts out of it a little bit.
Here's one from Sharmilla in Colchester. She says, Titanic the serial. You had an idea for Titanic there, Adam.
Before the Berg.
Sharmilla's improved it slightly. After Rose dies and goes back to the Titanic ghost ship every week, she and Jack have to stop the ship crashing into different objects, i.e. the Statue of Liberty, a school full of children, an iceberg full of spikes and excrement. Every week the ship hits the object and most of the show focuses on the sinking. Everyone dies, but it doesn't matter because they're already dead, because of course it's a ghost ship. That's really very good. I love the idea of it hitting a different thing.
Yeah.
And the idea that the writers wouldn't be constrained by any sense of reality.
Yeah.
An iceberg covered in spikes.
Full of spikes and excrement. That's a good idea for a film on
Sean
its
Miller,
own.
You've got a powerful noggin.
That's very good.
2.5 Robocops, says Stefan in Brixton. Robo and his roommate Ed 209 are trusted with the care of a mouthy orphan girl with a hilarious outcome. Yeah. Now that's quite good, isn't it?
That is good, yeah.
I think it would probably just be a cheeky toaster rather than an orphan girl.
Yes.
Don't you think? Or maybe Aurak from Blake 7.
Maybe half cheeky girl, half toaster.
I like the idea of a sitcom inhabited entirely by robots.
Well, Aurak would be the kind of grandmother figure, you know,
that
sort of
good,
wise.
Man. C-3PO could turn up for a cameo.
That is a good idea.
Metal Mickey could show up.
Yeah.
K-9. All the robots. That
all
would
the
be
robots
superb.
Would get together.
It'd be a big deal to get all the rights. There'd have to be some serious conference table assemblies.
It would be anything's doable now in the Alien versus Predator world.
The money to be made
world.
For everybody would be extraordinary.
Absolutely.
Wow.
All the marketing and everything. And yeah, that's a good
that's
idea.
That's a great idea. Well done, Stefan in Brixton. Very good. Here's another one. This will take some explaining, says Adam in Brighton. A spin-off from The Shawshank Redemption, set 2 years after Morgan Freeman has met Tim Robbins on the beach in Mexico. They're now living a frivolous life, sailing the oceans. They have a pet dolphin who helps them, you'll like this, solve crimes.
Yeah.
And at the end of each episode, they will have solved the crime somehow using a tiny teaspoon in the most fascinating and jaw-dropping manner. There you have it.
That's the tiny teaspoon that Tim Robbins digs himself out of.
That's right. And maybe a big poster of, what was the poster of? It was some film, wasn't it?
Oh.
I never bought that.
Did you not?
No.
That the guards wouldn't look behind the poster.
Well, that nobody at any point over all those years leant casually against the poster and fell through the hole.
Why would they? Why would they be in the cell, though? The guards don't generally go in the cell.
Yeah, they do. Guards can go where they want.
Well, they do when they turn over the
place. Prisoners are constantly bumming each other and bouncing off the walls. That's all they ever do.
Yeah.
Shooting up drugs. They're constantly bouncing off the walls. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, but you're not going to bounce off the wall of your own cell and ruin your lady poster covering the escape hole.
No, I don't know, man. I mean, it's a brilliant
film. I was in prison for a long time. And let me tell you, you can cover almost anything up with a lady poster. It's not a problem. That's a good idea, though. And also, I think you'd be missing a trick if you didn't have a scene every week where he has to crawl through excrement.
Do they do that in the short? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, very memorably. Like a long tunnel. Each week the tunnel gets a little bit long and there's different stuff because it could be like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
That's
true.
I like the fact that you would always be thinking, how are they going to work an excrement tunnel into this narrative? There could be one set in the desert, one set in space, and you'd be thinking, wow, how are they going to work it in? What's that floating towards us? Looks like some kind of tube.
Some kind of tube. Let's investigate. Do you really think we should? After last week?
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Oh, Martin.
Excuse me.
Hello, I'm Michael Ball. This is BBC Hi. Three, and I'm here with my guest, Joe Cornish. He's
Hi.
Going through some of his favourite musicals there. Why did you pick that one for us,
well,
Joe?
Well, I just love the costumes. Mm. I love the stitching, the seamstressness, the dressing. I just love musicals.
I love musicals,
the pointing,
too.
The tiny seats, the Maltesers.
Mm.
I love the theatre.
I love Sondheim.
Do you?
Yes. Can I say that you're looking very, very attractive?
I've got six nipples.
Have you?
You can have two of them.
That's my favourite number of nipples.
I've got no use for them at all.
Wonderful stuff.
I suckle piglets sometimes on a farm.
Oh, well.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, you carry
you
on.
Go, you
no,
go.
You,
no,
I would,
you go.
All right. The theme for Text the Nation this week, folks, is inspired by...
I can't believe you went.
Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
So rude.
The Chronicles.
It's interrupted me.
And we're asking you to suggest movies that should be turned into TV series and what those series would be like.
Chris Eccles suggests...
Christopher Eccleston.
That's exciting. Suggests a TV series based on Falling Down.
Yeah.
This would be an extension of the film Falling Down. But it assumes that Michael Douglas's character didn't die, where he gets more and more angry about life and stuff throughout the series, culminating in him detonating a nuclear bomb in LA because he's so cross. Fair enough there.
A little bit
Chris.
Like Heroes.
I would suggest that you steer away from the ending there.
Yes.
And that he just gets angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier without any kind of end.
Yeah.
And you sort of can't believe at the end of each series, can he get any angrier? Yes, he can. And that's why you tune back in. And the angrier he gets, the smaller the things are that make him angry. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
So those two narrative strands, they go in opposite directions. I'd watch that.
That's a good
idea.
That
would really vent a lot of spleen for a lot of people.
That would be brilliant. Speaking of which, who was the guy that texted in earlier on to correct us about Lost? Well, he wasn't correcting us, but he was reminding us that everybody knows exactly when Lost is going to end. It's going to end after six series.
2010.
Mm. They know where it's going. There's no question of them making it up as they go along like a collection of ludicrous ponces. And everything is fine in the mythical world of Lost. So what else have you got there?
Nick Carver says Taxi Driver, the TV series. It's called Taxi Driver: Road Trip. Travis Bickle travels from town to town in his taxi. You'll like this bit, solving various crimes.
That's a good idea.
And dealing out vigilante justice before heading off into the sunset at the end. Each episode opens with Travis looking into the mirror and talking to himself, explaining the story that will follow. It ends also in front of the mirror as he wraps it all up. Brackets, perhaps telling a joke. Close brackets.
That's a very good idea, because I've noticed that Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, has this as well. A lot of shows end with a bit of voiceover with some kind of aphorism or thought for the day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, TV viewers, the simple-minded folk.
Heroes does that in a really maddening way.
Travis's resourcefulness in the film, shown through the fabrication of his slidey gun-hiding device, will be spun out into a more MacGyver-like ability to overcome obstacles with random objects. That's good, so there's a sort of Inspector Gadget element to it. Every time he gets into some probably underage prostitute-based pickle, which let's face it, we all do every now and then.
A Travis pickle.
A Travis pickle. Something pops out from somewhere. No, move on.
That's a very good idea. Who was that one from?
That was from some bloke. What was his name?
It was from Nick Carver.
Here's one. I think this is from Ian in Birmingham. It's anonymous. But he says, how about a TV show from the film 2001? It's all about the adventures of the Black Obelisk and its travels. It's a cross between Lassie and Quantum Leap. I like the idea of the obelisk as a kind of cute, you know, smooth, silent, immobile kind of
sure, he turns up in different places every week and inspires different magical events around him.
There's that noise through the whole episode.
Because the obelisk turns out to be full of universes, doesn't it?
In 2010, the year we made contact, directed by, was it Peter Hyams?
Yeah.
I think so. That's what happens. They basically tell you.
It's full of stars.
I like that film.
He could sort of go out doling out universes in various different parts of the universe.
But David from Braintree has a different angle on 2001, the TV series. He says, 2001, a TV odyssey. Dave Bowman and his cheeky robot sidekick Hal discover a new monolith each week and are sent on a quest to discover the meaning of existence. Every week features Hal trying to kill Bowman in an increasingly comic style, with Dave then tripping out for the remaining minutes of the episode. That's a good idea, you see, because lots of monoliths, they've each got something different inside them each week.
Yes.
Candy.
Yeah.
1 week. You know, puppies. Another week.
Exactly. And sometimes it's something more profound, the meaning of life.
And it has a connection. It connects into, you know, Tic Tacs, maybe.
Well, this is coming back to the whole thing about boxes, which we know is a solid gold way of generating interest for a TV show. If you've got a box or an object with a mysterious thing inside it, people want to know what it is.
Here's a good one from Daniel Johnston in Sheffield. He says the Kaiser Soze Chronicles. Every week they set up a complicated plot, then reveal at the end that he was just making it all up.
Yeah. I wonder if that's Daniel Johnson, the tortured musical genius.
Probably.
Yeah.
Another one?
Yeah, go on. Give us one more before
Lord of the Rings. Frodo and Sam realise their obvious feelings for each other and every day deal with prejudice against two hobbits in love.
That's very nice.
It's like sort of Will and Grace with hairy-footed midgets. not majorly different.
I could be in it.
You could be in it.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
You might remember years ago on this show, we used to have a feature called Song Wars.
Mm.
And about this time, we'd sort of be reprising the songs. About this time, you might have heard this jingle.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. So check it out.
But not anymore, because we've stopped it.
It's having a little break.
It's having a break, and, you know, I was resistant to the idea when it was first mooted at the beginning of our tenure here at the Castle. We'd done some songs when we filled in for Sean Keaveney on The Breakfast Show, but we did one a week over five shows. To carry on doing one a week, I resisted, but then, you know, when we started doing it regularly, I started to enjoy it.
Mm.
I started to take pleasure in it. It wasn't about the winning and losing. It was about the act of creating something and then, you know, having a marginally appreciative audience to play them to.
Yeah.
And when it stopped, it was very sudden. And like a bicycle going down a hill, I found it very hard to break, to stop.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a lot of momentum. I don't know what the physics of it is.
You've still got songs to sing.
I've still got songs to
You've
sing.
Got a lot of music in
so
you.
So on the Monday, on the Tuesday after the show, I was sitting at home typing away, writing this thing, and I was getting a bit bored of writing. And usually when I was bored of writing, I'd think, well, I have a little nibble at a song.
Yeah.
You know, keep the juices going. So I had to do it anyway.
It just got to come out sometimes.
And this is it's only short, but this is a composition that expresses my my sadness, my melancholy.
Sort of elegy for Song Wars.
An elegy for Song Wars. Yeah, it doesn't have a name. It's a song. Well, I suppose it's a song for Song Wars.
Yeah. End of part one.
Yeah.
Of Song Wars.
Here it is.
No more Song Wars.
No more Song Wars.
Song Wars is over.
Song Wars is over.
Au revoir, la guerre des chansons.
There won't be any Song Wars anymore.
It started out as a game we played. You'd write a song and I'd reciprocate. We'd play the songs, let the listeners choose. It ain't a competition if nobody loses. 12 weeks later and the score's 8-4. I get the feeling you don't find this fun anymore.
So we say,
no more Song Wars.
No more Song Wars.
Song Wars is over.
Song Wars is over.
There won't be any Song Wars anymore.
Making a song takes a long, long time. The rest of the show suffers and might be simply delighted to hear. We'll no longer be shoving our songs in your ears. No more amateur crap from a couple of...
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. We hope you're having lots of jolly fun. Please obey the rules when you're inside the castle, or we'll jolly have to throw you jolly out upon your ass.
There we go, wow. That flew by. I'm not talking about the podcast. I'm talking about that plane.
Yeah, it did. It's amazing. How do they keep them up there?
Dunno. It seems absurd.
Yeah, it's ludicrous, isn't it?
Good stuff anyway. Hey, thanks for listening. And if you'd like to get in touch with us during the week or during the live show, which goes out on a Saturday morning between 9 a.m. and noon every Saturday, then simply email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
And also, if you'd like to leave a comment about this podcast, like a positive comment on the iTunes thing, that's always good because...
I check those every couple of minutes.
Yeah.
One of my favourite things in life is to search for references to myself on the internet.
A bit of ego surfing.
Yeah, so come on, give a man a break.
Exactly.
Spend us...
Give a broken man a break. It's very unlikely that Joe or myself will ever work in television again or ever be taken seriously in any other medium.
Don't make money from this. Pay us in kind.
Exactly. Thanks. Stroke us. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with more of the same.
Bye.
Love you, bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast,
then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now.
bbc.co.uk/6music.